Hello, everyone. Welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. We are back, and this evening we will be reading in the Manual for Teachers, Part 26, Can God Be Reached Directly? Before we do that, let's begin our session, as we always do, with a brief period of meditation. So I invite you to join me, perhaps allowing your eyes to close. Just allowing your body to settle. Noticing what's present for you. Maybe noticing that monkey mind, that surface of the mind, those surface thoughts wanting to just sort of stay on that hamster wheel of activity. And it might be helpful to imagine our group if we were all maybe sitting in a circle or around a fire, all closing our eyes with a shared intention of joining in the quiet, still space that we all share. The space where the Holy Spirit abides in each of us. This sort of gateway where we step into a space of timelessness, recognizing that we are not limited to these bodies. And in this space, with our willingness, we can just imagine laying everything down into the Holy Spirit's loving arms, our concerns, our worries, the things that we see out there in the world, the things that are happening in the world that are distressing and frightening, the things that are unfolding in our own lives that are triggering, challenging. In this space, we can practice loosening the world from all we thought it was. And a reminder that we are not doing this alone. We are joined in this mutual desire to remember who we truly are, to wake up. And as the Course reminds us, where two or more are joined, there the ego must fall away. If it helps you feel connected, placing one hand on your chest, on your heart, this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place tonight, place it all in the Holy Spirit's hands. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Maybe ending with one more deep breath as we allow our eyes to open. Again, welcome everyone. So this evening we are going to read in the Manual for Teachers, Part 26, Can God Be Reached Directly? Scott, I see your hands.
Didn't take long, did it? Hey, just a, you know, this whole idea of releasing concerns, Corinne, mm-hmm. you know, a big topic these days, obviously, is mm-hmm. the war, mm-hmm. right? But it's, you know, as soon as I heard you say the word concern, it took me back to lesson 26. And it's got this three-step process in it about concerns, right? And it's on the second page, and it goes like this. I'm concerned about, just say, the war in the Ukraine, right? Mm-hmm. I'm afraid blank will happen, and keyword being afraid, and then, you know, something disastrous is going to happen. That thought alone, I'm afraid that something is going to happen, then you skip down to the bottom. That thought is an attack upon myself. Mm-hmm. So going back to your statement, we don't need to be concerned about everything. And what I'll add to that, based upon my own experience, is that somehow everything is in divine order, even though it looks like it's an utter mess. Mm-hmm. There is a plan beneath the plan. Mm-hmm. And I use that three-step process all the time to remind me not to be concerned.
Beautiful, Scott. Thank you so much for bringing us to that lesson, to lesson 26, if anybody wants to jot that down to visit that later on. That's really, really helpful. One of the things that's been coming up for me recently is just recognizing that my concern, my fear, my whatever worry, even you know, feeling just for everything that's happening over in the Ukraine, in the, you know, at nighttime when I'm going to bed, recognizing, like asking myself, is this concern right now helping anybody? Is it helping me? Is it helping that, you know, is it helping anyone? And the answer is usually no. And instead bringing my mind back to the Holy Spirit, back to the truth, and being willing to focus on that. I want to use the word fixate because I think I'm pretty sure I talk about that in my book, like anxiety, depression, all have elements of fixation, of fixating on, on the pain, on the negative. And so repurposing that ability to fixate on something to instead fixate on the Holy Spirit. You know, I can't remember truth myself. I could say I could fixate on the truth, but it's really the Holy Spirit through me. You know, I fixate on the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit remembers for me. So that's just been, you know, really, really helpful for me recently. So thank you, Scott, for calling that out. I really appreciate that.
And real briefly, Corinne, if I play it out in my head, you know, what is it I'm afraid will happen? Mm-hmm. Or World War III will break out and my body will die. Mm-hmm. It's always mm-hmm. about, you know, from the ego standpoint, it's always about me. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. You know, I was going to bring this up later, but it feels like it's appropriate to bring this up now. I'll share in the Facebook group after we're done a link to, when did I watch this? Yesterday. I watched, was it yesterday or Friday? I don't know. It was recently. It's one of those 2 days. Yesterday, a webinar on shared death experiences. So we've all heard of near death experiences. Shared death experiences are when the caregiver or a loved one, or, you know, somebody close to the dying person is brought into the white light, is brought into that, it has some type of experience of that person dying that shows them that reality is way more than what we see with our body's eyes. It was a webinar by Raymond Moody, who is a pioneer in this field, who I'm sure most of you know. Raymond Moody and the other man whose name is escaping me at the moment. This other guy just came up with a book called About Shared Death Experiences at Heaven's Door, I think is the name of the book. Anyway, I will share the replay of this webinar. It's an hour-long webinar. It's fantastic. In this webinar, you see they broadcast a pre-recorded video during the webinar of Raymond Moody interviewing a man and his doctor. And the man and the doctor are recounting the story of their shared death experience. So the man was in a horrific car accident, and it's, you know, it's a tearjerker. He lost his wife and one of his children in this car accident, and had an experience of his wife, you know, this light in the car. And then later in the hospital, the doctor, after the wife died, the doctor sees the wife above the husband when he, you know, basically communicating to the doctor, like how to help him and knowing that he would pull through. And if there's you know, we're going to be reading in, I'm pretty sure it's in this section tonight, about how all of perception is an illusion, like all of it, even, you know, near-death experiences, shared death experiences, but we have these, you know, spirit meets us where we are. We have these sort of like graded experiences that open our perception in a, to the degree to which we're ready for it, to the degree to which it's not scary. As the Course says, you will not be abruptly hurled into reality. It's a gradual opening as we drop our fear of welcoming these types of experiences. So I will share the replay. I highly recommend, if you're feeling rattled at all in any way, shape, or form, tuning into this webinar, because it is incredibly comforting to learn about. And I had a number of aha moments, because I've had shared death experiences before with some of my chickens and pets who have passed in the past, and my actually grandmother, when she passed, I didn't have the shared death experience, but someone that I know had an experience of my grandmother after she had had passed. So it's a well-known thing. It's a well-known phenomenon among hospice workers. So this is like a very exciting development that there's now been a book published about it, in addition to a peer-reviewed journal article that the same author has put out. So I'll share that replay link in the Facebook group. And if you're not on Facebook, just email me and I can send it to you directly. I have the direct Vimeo link of the webinar, so you don't even need to opt into anything. All right. So thank you for prompting me to share that, Scott. I knew I'd share that at some point tonight. So let's dive into our reading. So we're reading part 26, Can God Be Reached Directly? Again, this is on page 1655 in the purple, I'm sorry, 1645 in the purple book, and in the FIP, the blue book, it is page 64. So here we go. Can God be reached directly? God can indeed be reached directly, for there is no distance between him and his son. His awareness is in everyone's memory, and his word is written on everyone's heart. Yet this awareness and this memory can arise across the threshold of the unconscious only where all barriers to truth have been removed. And how many is this the case? Here then is the role of God's teachers. They too have not attained the necessary understanding as yet, but they have joined with others. This is what sets them apart from the world. And it is this that enables others to leave the world with them. Alone they are nothing, but in their joining is the power of God. So there's our circle. There is, you know, those of us who are many of us beyond just those of us on this Zoom call who are willing to join, be it through the course or through some other thought, even if it's just love. This is what joins us together, and this is what sets us apart from the world. I just was struck by the sentence. It's sort of in the middle of this paragraph, that the awareness, so God, the memory of God, can arise across the threshold of the unconscious only where all barriers to truth have been removed. And how many is this the case? Here's the role of God's teachers. You know, we're not there yet, but this, if you think about it, this is what we're doing as course students. We're dedicated to removing, to allowing the barriers that we've put in our mind, allowing those to be removed. And slowly, one layer at a time, like that layer of the, you know, the onion with all the different layers, there's truth at the center, and it's like layer by layer, miracle by miracle, issue by issue. We are in our curriculum, turning to Holy Spirit, peeling away those layers and allowing those barriers to be removed. So the memory of God isn't fearful. So we're not afraid of it, because the only reason it's not showing up right now is because of our own fear. That's it. And so that's our work, is to allow those blocks of fear to be undone, remembering that this is easy. This can be gentle. It can be easy. If it feels hard, we have to remember that it's probably just the ego trying to do it itself again. And so the Course says somewhere, this is like, you know, one of the most natural things in the world. I'm going to go ahead and read paragraph number two. There are those who have reached God directly, retaining no trace of worldly limits and remembering their own identity perfectly. These might be called the teachers of teachers because, although they are no longer visible, their image can yet be called upon. They will appear when and where it is helpful for them to do so. To those to whom such appearances would be frightening, they give their ideas. No one can call on them in vain, nor is there anyone of whom they are unaware. All needs are known to them, and all mistakes are recognized and overlooked by them. The time will come when this is understood. And meanwhile, they give all their gifts to the teachers of God who look to them for help, asking all things in their name and in no other. It's interesting for me to read this paragraph after just having shared about the shared death experience webinar, because one of the questions that a participant asked was, are there cultural variations in these shared death experiences? And the presenters spoke about how if a person is Christian, you know, maybe it's Jesus that they might see. If the person is Hindu, you know, it's a Hindu deity. So it just makes me think about how it says the teachers of teachers are no longer visible, yet their image can be called upon. Notice it's plural. It's not just talking about, you know, one image here of like Jesus, let's say. It's a they, it's plural. And they will appear when and where it is helpful for them to do so. So whoever it is that we feel that connection with, that's who we can call upon. And that's, you know, part of our team of guides. And I love in the middle of the paragraph, it says, to those to whom such appearances would be frightening, they give their ideas. How beautiful is that? So if we're not like so excited about seeing an apparition in our living room, like it's their ideas that are given to us. And that is beautiful. And I love how it says, no one can call on them in vain, nor is there anyone of whom they are unaware. So if any of us have had moments where we feel like, you know, where is God? Like, I feel like I'm getting nothing. Like I'm all alone here. It says so clearly right there, nor is there anyone of whom they are unaware. All needs are known to them and all mistakes are recognized and overlooked by them. The time will come when this is understood. So this is where I feel like, in one sense, radical patience on our part can play a role. If we feel like we're asking and, you know, we're not getting anything, we're still not alone. We are still not alone. I just said a lot, so I want to pause there and see what is bubbling up for anyone. Anyone have anything to add so far? Chris.
Hi there.
Hi.
I've got two here going. So sorry to confuse people, but one the audio works and one the video works.
So. Okay. I see. You know what? I don't know if it's possible to mute. I hear an echo for you. So maybe the one where you're just watching video, if you mute that one, maybe that would stop the echo, if that's possible. If not, it's totally fine.
Okay. Hopefully that's better.
Oh, that is. Thank you.
I just wanted to say a couple things. One is that Raymond Moody, it was the books he wrote in the late 70s were my introduction as my grandfather was dying, and he was the only person I felt loved by and that I had a deep connection with. And it was devastating, but it would have been far more had I not found his books.
Oh, wow.
And he kind of, you know, I was in severe depression and he kind of saved my life. So I just love him and I love hearing that he's still working. And it was my introduction to non-traditional spiritual teachings. So that's what opened my mind to potential psychic experiences and anything out of the ordinary, out of the, you know, the Christian Catholic tradition. And what else was I going to say? Oh, we're talking about how different people see spirit differently. It's funny because I know a nun who went to India and saw Ganesh floating on the ceiling. This is a Catholic nun.
Interesting.
She saw Ganesh floating across her room. I've seen Jesus 3 times and each time he looked different. Because at first time he looked like he did it in my grandma's painting, old-fashioned blonde light hair. And the second time I said, you can't possibly have looked like that. What did you literally look like? And he showed, I saw a very, very dark, not very, very dark, but a dark man. And with ringlets and beautiful man, but looked very extremely different. Mm-hmm. And then the third time I saw him, he looked kind of like a combination of the two, like more Mediterranean. So God only knows. And I figure spirit is speaking to me through whatever way I think I would be most comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So, and people say, well, then you can't have possibly seen him. Well, spirit works with us where we're at and where,
exactly
how we see and how we most feel comfortable.
Exactly.
So anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Oh, Chris, thank you so much for sharing that. That just, for me, just everything that you shared is really touching and moving and goes deep into my heart, from just Raymond Moody having been there for you back when your grandfather had passed and like you said, saved your life, and that intro to non-traditional, spirituality and ideas and these experiences. And I love what you said too about, knowing that Jesus was not blonde haired, blue eyed. I am repeating a quote that I saw on Instagram from a author that I'm following. This book is phenomenal. It's called God is a Black Woman. And one of her memes was something about breaking up with white Jesus. So I am like saying that now, like I've broken up with white Jesus, like, an open, like really opening to the fact that he looks Palestinian and much different than the, very predominant images that we see of him. But I relate to everything that you said. And it's really cool that he has appeared to you and that you've had those visions. And that was one of the very exciting things of like learning in this webinar about what entails shared death experiences. Often the sort of characteristics that happen to people, they describe things like the shape of the room changing. Like Raymond Moody talks about people describe the geometry of the room changes, like the time space continuum actually changes, and a wall might be gone, the ceiling disappears, a light shows up, like all these different common characteristics that throughout time, throughout their interviews that they've done, that people have these commonalities. And it's just, a little bit of obviously variation too, but it just can give us permission that if we feel like we're having some type of experience, to not discount it, to pay attention and to accept and to own that we really are not these bodies, and there really is something beyond this veil. And it does, if we're open, it does break through, and it can break through to really be quite a beautiful teacher for us. So thank you, Chris. Thank you so much. Paula, I see your hand. Oh, you're muted still. I can't hear you. There you are.
I'm muted. Okay.
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Now I can.
How is this paragraph that you just read about the teachers of teachers, how does this play into intuition? Because I almost feel like they will give their ideas. Mm-hmm. I know you wrote a beautiful email about intuition this week, and I had an experience where words just came out of my mouth and I was surprised by them. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder if that's what this is about.
So that's a great question. And I'm sure there's many ways that we can answer that question, but the way that I think about it is that, your intuition is opening up your sensory it's opening up to allow data to come in beyond your five senses. Whether that data coming in is given you, you know, from these teachers of teachers, from our guides, from Holy Spirit, from Jesus, or whether it's like, you know, just information that we are tuning into on this level of form, that information that we tune into on this level of form might be, you know, from another person, but Spirit will use anything and everything. So I believe that we can get that guidance through, you know, interacting with one another here on this level too. So I don't think of like intuition as only like talking to the Holy Spirit and like, you know, I'm sorry, I said that. That's not how I meant to say it. I don't think of guidance as only, it is absolutely a vertical communication, you know, between us and Spirit or our guides or these teachers of teachers. I that's definitely guidance. But I also think that guidance can come through on like the horizontal plane as well, just by, you know, tuning in and again, using our intuition to be open to information that is from beyond our five senses. So I think that intuition and guidance, they can be one and the same, thing. It's just, to me, that intuition is just sort of more of a, I guess, a general idea or a general term for getting information beyond our five senses, you know, taking that information in.
Yeah, my experience was so unusual because I was having a problem with my computer and I was just walking out the door to go to the Verizon store to talk to them about it. And the phone rang and it was Verizon. And there was a foreign person on the line and she says, I'm calling because your computer has been compromised and I want to connect you with a technician. And before I, all of a sudden, I just said to her, I don't know who you are, and I think you're a scam. And I hung up. Uh-huh. Now, where that came from, I was kind of amazed by it. So I called Verizon and said, you just got this phone call. And sure enough, they checked it. It was an actual Verizon number, but they're able to use that number to scam you. She said, this is something brand new. And so she confirmed it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, wow, that, I mean, it was an absolute miracle.
Wow.
That I didn't let them touch.
Wow, Paula.
Yeah. So I mean, I just felt like that was real guidance.
And again, like, yes, like guidance plays out. It's again, not just like, again, revelation is like that direct experience of God. I feel like there's like guidance. It can come in where we feel like we're communicating, you know, again, in that vertical, but our angels and guides are here to help us too. And so you were open to listening, to tuning in. And it was like, it was a big no. Those scammers are getting quite creative. I fell for one myself.
Quite creative, Well, really, I normally in a situation like that, I'll go right to the Holy Spirit, but that didn't even occur to me. It's okay. So that was wow. My guidance this week.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
I got scammed by a text that seemed to come from Verizon and it, I fell for it. And I luckily was able to fix everything, but yeah, the scammers are getting, they like Verizon and they are getting quite creative. Thank you, Paula. Anybody else? And anybody have any thoughts just about even just the idea about intuition and guidance and how those are related? Anybody? Carol and Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow. I just keep saying wow, wow, wow to what Paula shared. That was really, really great. But I do know that last week, the class, I don't know what to call this, Corinne, what we do here, but it's really good stuff. And it was just what I needed. And it just felt, it always feels so loving and so supportive. And I was going through a tough time. And through the week, things got better and better. And I am responsible for my daughter's dog during the day. And I think because our weather in New Jersey has been up and down, really like way down and way up, but it was one day when it was very, very cold and Pat was out in the backyard with her dog and I was looking out and I, for me, spirit visits me through cardinals. And there's a pine tree in someone else's yard that we can see in our backyard. And this cardinal was so brilliant. It was bright, bright red, and it just kept singing and singing and singing. And to the point where it was so cool because our dog looked, it just kept looking at it like that. It was just so like mesmerizing. And it was really what I needed. I needed a sign. And, you know, Paula has this memorized and I don't. But when we were talking, because I was really getting caught up in the world, really caught up in the energy in the world, and I just couldn't like clear things. And so this is like the mantra that gives me comfort. And sometimes I just say it to clear my head. With God, events unfold in miraculous ways beyond any of our own ability to plan an outcome equal to what is available when we trust in him. Mm. And I know Paula says it all the time, so I'm not surprised that she went right to, you know, what she needed to do. But it just gave me, and this past week, cardinals all over the place. Like my daughter would come home from walking her dog and she said, I think I saw 20 cardinals this morning. And it was just such a comforting thing in the midst of, I don't know, sometimes I call it chaos, in the midst of what's going on in the world. And the lessons were very, very good this week too, for me to be reminded that I can choose that or I can choose the centering, you know. And so that's really all I want to say. Thank you.
That's beautiful, Carol. I really appreciate your sharing. Thank you so much. When we have a symbol, because again, Jesus, Holy Spirit speaks oftentimes through us through signs and symbols. And so, you know, that having that sign of a cardinal, I'm sure if we went around the room, we'd all have different things that, you know, that show up often for us in a way that is very comforting. And I love that. The dog was looking up at the cardinal, and you actually just reminded me, and I'll just share this really quick, if you'll indulge me for a moment, that one of my beloved pet chickens passed away, I guess maybe about 2 or so weeks ago now, 2-3 weeks ago. And after watching the Shared Death Experience webinar, I have full belief, and I thought it then, she's one of my oldest chickens. So now I just have one chicken from the original flock and they're 7 years old. So they're like up there in chicken years and they were very bonded. And when Rogue, my chicken, was ill and I'd put her outside, they were so sweet, like grooming each other and just so happy to see each other. And when the morning that Rogue passed, there's a whole, at some point I'll probably do a podcast about this because it's a really beautiful story and it was a beautiful experience for me to be able to be with her as she transitioned. And I swear she waited for me. She waited for me to go get her from her cage in the basement that night. And after she passed, I let Prestige, the other 7-year-old chicken who's bonded with her, in to see her. I let the other ones in, but everybody knew something was up because they were all lined at the door. When Prestige came in, she came in by herself. She would not look at Rogue. She kept looking over my head. When you're outside with chickens and you see them look up at the sky, like they do this thing that they'll see it. They can see a plane, like 30,000, you know, whatever feet up in the air. They have really good vision. She would not look down. She kept tilting her head and looking above my head. I didn't have at that moment, you know, I had a lot of grief coming up. So I didn't think about like turning around and looking. I am positive she saw her. Because from that moment on, she fully integrated into the new flock of three. Like they reorient themselves into their new flock. And it was as if she never looked back. It was as if she had closure. It was like, okay, bye, see you later. And we're moving on now. So it was quite a beautiful experience that you just reminded me of when you described that. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you for the heart, Michelle. I see. Oh, somebody just wrote to me. Yes, that's awesome. I was on the Raymond Moody webinar, and I'll be sharing the replay link in the Facebook group. Anybody else want to chime in before we read another paragraph? Jenny, up, you're muted. Up, you're still muted, I think. I can't hear you. Sorry.
Sorry there about you that. No problem. I didn't hear what you were saying. I just wanted to say that line that we read about nors or anyone of whom they are unaware and all needs are known to them. I mean, that's a line that has always stuck with me when you feel like, is anyone really out there listening? But you can feel the truth in this. And it's just really just one of those mind-blowing lines, you know, that if you keep that with you, it can be incredibly comforting.
I agree. Thank you for highlighting that. I really do feel that too. I can feel the truth in those words. Thank you, Jenny. Anybody else? Let's read the next paragraph, paragraph number 3. Sometimes a teacher of God may have a brief experience of a direct union with God. In this world, it is almost impossible that this endure. It can, perhaps, be won after much devotion and dedication, and then be maintained for most of the time on earth, but this is so rare that it cannot be considered a realistic goal. If it happens, so be it. If it does not happen, so be it as well. All worldly states must be illusory. If God were reached directly in sustained awareness, the body would not be long maintained. Those who have laid the body down merely to extend their helpfulness to those remaining behind are few indeed. And they need helpers who are still in bondage and still asleep, so that by their awakening can God's voice be heard. So good. You know, I was just getting organized the other day, and I tend to write, like, if I'm talking with my mom or if I hear something, really good quote, juicy quote, jot it down on a piece of paper. And then I end up with, like, you know, 10,000 scraps of paper with cool quotes on them. And I just started transcribing them into a book to keep them all in one place. And I came across something that my mom had said to me. And I used to have a big fear. I've shared this with all of you before. I used to have a fear that if I aced A Course in Miracles, I would get whisked away. Like, what a reason to not do the course, right? If you're carrying that fear, I had a fear that if I, you know, did it all right, that I just wouldn't be here anymore. And my mom said, you're not going to get whisked away. Instead, you're going to be put to work. And that's what this paragraph just said, that, again, those who have just laid their body down to be helpful to those remaining are few indeed. They need helpers who are still in bondage and still asleep, so that by their awakening can God's voice be heard. In other words, our guides, the teachers of teachers, Jesus, Holy Spirit needs us here, needs our eyes, our hands, our language, our tongue, you know, our thoughts, our bodies. We are needed here in the dream to be miracle workers, to extend love in a world that needs it. And whatever it is that we are being asked to do, however, you know, whatever situations, even if it's just like a job, you know, we're asked to show up to work each day. There's our curriculum, you know, right there to perhaps be that light in our job, at the food store, on the highway, if somebody road rages at us, you know, it's that we always have that opportunity, no matter what situation we are in, to extend love. So I love that my mom said that. Andrea.
For me, that connects right back up to the line in the first paragraph where it says, here then is the role of God's teachers. They too have not attained the necessary understanding as yet, but they have joined with others. And it's like that of us joining with one another is what makes us the teachers, but also it's that joining together while still in bondage, still asleep, right, that enables not only us to do the awakening, but to bring others with us also.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for making that connection, Andrea. That's a really, really important connection. Ah, thank you so much. Scott.
Okay, so I've mentioned this before, but after having attended this retreat 2 years ago with this course teacher from England, I was able to access these experiences of a direct union with God. Wasn't easy to do. I had to like pray really hard to get myself into them. But I did, and I was able to do it for like 4 months, and including time after leaving this guy. But here's the thing. The reason I bring this up is because this is a really important statement for me to read, because it says, in this world, it is almost impossible that this endure. Mm-hmm. And then flipping the page, it even says that that experience was ultimately illusory because I had it while in the world. Mm-hmm. But the more important thing for me is that I've been clinging to having that experience again and have looked at not having it as a failure on my part. And this says clearly that's not true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because in this, at this level of awareness that I experienced, I wasn't in a body. There was no space and time. I mean, I can go on and on with the description. And I felt like I was just in direct, maybe not so much in direct union with God, but I was in direct communication or union with my own soul. Mm-hmm. And it was very trippy. And ultimately, it spooked me. But it must have been something that I was ready for at the time. But this paragraph to me is really helpful because I literally have asked, you know, now that experience is gone, have I failed somehow? And the answer is right there. No.
Nope. Scott, thank you for sharing both your experience and making that connection with what we just read. The first thought that comes to mind is that, and this is a different example, but I was on a silent meditation retreat once, and the teacher joked around and said that it takes one good meditation to ruin the rest of your meditations because you like you want it back, you know, like you're like, come on, like I want that experience back. So we put so much energy into wanting something again that we're, you know, not in the present moment. Being mindful, it was a, you know, mindfulness meditation retreat. So you just reminded me of that story. And I know it's a different example, but I can also relate to what you just said, because the experiences that I've been having recently, I had a thought a few days ago of like, oh no, like, are the visions stopping? And I could sense what you're saying, like, oh gosh, is that like is something, you know, stopping? And it didn't then. I had, you know, I did have another one shortly thereafter, but it's so interesting how the ego wants to get in there and make meaning out of everything, you know, all of our experiences. It wants to decide, you know, that we're not doing it right, et cetera, et cetera. And yes, the answer is clearly given us right there on the page. So thank you for highlighting that.
It wants to make an interpretation of everything.
It sure does. It sure does. Yep. Thank you, Scott. Oh, anyone else? We can go ahead and read. Oh, Chris. Hi, Chris.
I just want to say one thing, and it's not that I'm not super appreciative of the woman who's going to be taking over your role, but I am just finally feeling like you're a friend, and I'm so bummed that you're not going to, this isn't going to continue. I hope that there will be other platforms, because I just, you're, and it's, and everybody who shares, but especially yourself, I just feel really connected to you, and I'm blessing you and wherever you're heading journey. And I hope there's other platforms that we can connect on.
For sure. Chris, I'm giving you the biggest hug. I feel connected to you too. And I'm not going anywhere. Like, I'm not, this form is shifting. Of doing the study group, you know, because it's been over 10 years, there will be more things coming. And I am in, I'm still in the middle of whatever it is that I'm going through with, you know, I've shared already about that. And I can feel, and I know to trust this now, that there are going to be things coming, you know, forward. I don't know what they are. I'm not the type of teacher that is like, oh, I need to offer programs, you know, because that's what I do. My approach is I sit and wait until I'm told, like until it's super clear what it is that I am, you know, to do. And so something is coming. I can feel it. I don't know what it is. I don't know when, and I don't know, you know, what the form yet would be. But there's so much that is, that I'm learning, that I'm experiencing in the realm of, you know, helping myself and helping perhaps the rest of us really, really, really start to tune in to our own intuition, our own gifts. I don't know. It's gonna be something in that realm. And who knows? So thank you for giving voice to your feelings, and I really appreciate that. And I'm sure, especially for those of us who've been on the group for, you know, a long time, and even for those who are just starting and are bummed that, you know, that I'm making a transition here, just know that I see you and I feel you, and I feel it too. This is not an easy thing to come to. It's a transition, you know, for me too, but I see you and I hear you and I love you all. And I just thank you. And I promise there is more. There is more to come. I'm not going anywhere. Oh, all right. Shall we read the last paragraph? Anybody else want to share? All right, let's read the last paragraph. Do not despair then because of limitations. It is your function to escape from them, but not to be without them. If you would be heard by those who suffer, you must speak their language. If you would be a savior, you must understand what needs to be escaped. Salvation is not theoretical. Behold the problem, ask for the answer, and then accept the answer when it comes, when it comes. Nor will its coming be long delayed. All the help you can accept will be provided, and not one need you have will not be met. Let us not then be too concerned with goals for which you are not ready. God takes you where you are and welcomes you. What more could you desire when this is all you need? And that is the final paragraph for this section. So it's striking to me. Oh, Scott, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to share something personal with the whole group.
Thank you.
This is the most difficult paragraph for me in the entire book. And here's why. I've been having revelation experiences since I was 10, right? But I've also had chronic illness for 32 years. So when I read things like, behold the problem, ask for the answer, then accept the answer when it comes, nor will its coming be long delayed. In my mind, 32 years is too long. Mm-hmm. And you know, I can go completely off the deep end in anger and rage when I read sentences like this. And I'm already on edge. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because then it says, all the help that you can accept will be provided, and not one need you have will not be met. And the obvious answer, or the obvious follow-up question from my ego then is, when in the hell is that going to be? Mm-hmm. And don't be too concerned with goals for which you are. I mean, I just don't have an understanding of any of this. Mm-hmm. And I can take myself way down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. Over this illness thing. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I continually have prayed, asked for some type of, I mean, even just a hint as to what this is about, and not really received anything clear. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, I get these great experiences from the Holy Spirit or from Mary or from Jesus. And on the other hand, I've had illness for 32 years. When I come across paragraphs like this in the course, if I'm on edge at all, boy, it's just boom, right over.
Want to chuck ego the book across the room.
Ego gets in there and just uses the course against me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there it is.
Thank you, Scott, for trusting us and for being so transparent and your honesty. I really appreciate you sharing this. And I hear you. I totally acknowledge everything that you just said. And I'm sure I saw some other people nodding. So I don't think that you are alone in your frustration, or your feelings about, you know, reading these sentences. And of course, I don't have an answer. But the only thing that just comes forward for me is, number one, maybe, when it feels like the ego is really getting in there, to see it as you, it sounds like you are, you know, to see the ego wanting to run to town with that, and to be willing to look at that under the light when teachings like this, you know, show up in the book. That's the biggest thing that comes up for me, is to, you know, not even hide that response from Holy Spirit, which you're not doing, I don't believe. It sounds like you're totally transparent and open about this. But
I am, but here's what happens, Corinne, mm-hmm. is that normally, I mean, under normal circumstances, I just live with it and tolerate it and say, you know, here I am, Jesus, here I am, Holy Spirit. But then I'll get to a point where I've put up with the symptoms for so long. Mm-hmm. That I just take the ego's bait, hook, line, and sinker, and go mm-hmm. way down the hole and start attacking Jesus and the Holy Spirit, saying WTF, mm-hmm. and I'm gone, I'm out mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes it takes me a full week or two just to come out of the hole I've dug mm-hmm. myself. Mm-hmm. It's a trip.
Yeah, it's
not a good one.
Not at all. No, not at all. And thank you just for calling it also bait. I think it's really important to get a little bit of distance from it, to recognize that the ego knows your buttons. You know, it knows how to get in, and it knows how to take you down that rabbit hole very, very quickly. And so, you know, doing that best to see when it starts to dangle, you know, that bait in front of you, and being willing to, you know, to not take the bait and to hold steady. Hold steady has been my lesson, you know, like the theme of my year of 2021. And of course, you know, spilling into 2022, the lesson, hold steady. And even if you've been holding steady for 30 something years, you know, continuing that practice, and to see this as bait. I'm just really glad that you named that as such, because that's what it boils down to being.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you so much. Oh, I'm just taking a breath with that, because I know many of us can relate to what you just shared. Paula, did you want to add, share?
It's so interesting, Scott. I have very rarely had pain in my life, but in the last 6 to 8 months, I have arthritis in my neck, and it's very painful. And I recently, in one of the other course groups that I'm involved in, we went over how our healing and the atonement related. And I started, it's in the manual for teachers. It's number 22. So every morning I've been sitting with this section. Just, it is so interesting because it's really making me see, I don't really believe this stuff, that I could be healed, that I could totally be healed. But I am willing to believe it. And if that's going to take time, then it's going to take time. Already, I was on the doctor put me on Celebrex, which can cause heart attack and stroke. And I'll be damned if I'm going to take that. And I was guided to a natural pain relief that is giving me so much relief. It's just wonderful. I might have to take an Advil with it occasionally. But it's a natural pain relief. I don't have to worry about side effects. You could take it all day long if you wanted to. And so the guidance is coming in that way. I don't know anything other than the fact that I'm willing to be healed. So I just wanted to share that.
And that's sure basically the name of that stuff. What's it called?
It's called... Hang on, I'm going to show it to you.
There's a quote, while Paul is getting that, there's a quote that I feel moved to share that I'm going to look up. This is a quote that just came to mind about symptoms. You find it, Paula?
I got it. It's called Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N, extra strength pain reliever. And it's Terry Naturally is the, I'll put it in the chat.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And I'm putting in the chat the quote that I'm gonna, that just came forward for me. One of the most difficult temptations to recognize is that to doubt a healing because the appearance of continuing symptoms is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. As such, it is an attack. And it goes on. It's a good reminder because I feel like, again, there's a slippery slope where, you know, the Course says these things. And at the same time, it's like we can fall into an ego slippery slope of deciding that the body's got to be looking and feeling a certain way to tell us whether or not we're doing this right. Just kind of like we talked about last week about wanting to sort of blow out of the water the idea that, like, you know, if everything's perfect, that means you're doing the course right. You know, and that's I don't think that that's the case. This is like another sort of form of that, is that we can think that, you know, well, that the body has got to look and be a certain way if, you know, if we're doing it right, when in fact, that doesn't have to be the case, because as this quote just says, the appearance of continuing symptoms, to doubt a healing because of continuing symptoms is a mistake in the form of lack of trust. And as such, it is an attack. So that came to mind as you were sharing. So thank you, Paula, for sharing your experience with us and your, the name of that. And again, thank you, Scott. I just glanced at the time. I didn't even realize we're at the top of the hour. And that's, I guess, good timing that we finished our reading. Does anybody have anything before we go? Any final words, questions, insights? Thank you for posting that, Paula.
Hi, Corinne.
Hi, Deidre.
I just had two things that I wanted to share to the lady who shared that she's going to miss you. I just wanted to say, as the person that has been asked to carry the torch on, I'm going to miss you too. it's been 10 years and that we're all family here, and change is never always easy. So I just wanted to voice that and label that, and those feelings are completely, you know, normal and welcome. So yeah, I love you a lot, Corinne.
I love you too, Deidre. Thank you.
And the other thing that came to mind as Scott was sharing is the quote from one of the course lessons that says, "There's nothing my holiness cannot do." And it reminds me of, like, our holiness has nothing to do with what the body is doing.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So whatever symptoms we're experiencing or anything has nothing to do with our holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Our holiness is not changed by whatever things are happening outside. So I just wanted to share that.
That needed to be spoken because something just didn't feel complete to me on the call. you just brought in the words and the ideas that needed to be spoken, because I feel complete now that our holiness has nothing to do with the body. That's it. Thank you, Deidre. I love you all. Thank you so much for another great call. And
Corinth,
yes,
you're gonna put the information on the Facebook.
Yes. And if anybody's not on Facebook for the replay of the webinar, if anybody's not on Facebook, just send me an email, info@fromanxietytolove.com, and I can send it right to you.
On the replay, are you gonna put I came in late, but I want to hear about that webinar. Or
It's a video that's up. It's a replay right now, and I'm gonna just post the link to the replay of the webinar that was on shared death experiences.
Okay, on Facebook.
Yes. Yep. It'll be in the group. I'll put it in the caption of this video as soon as I can.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. Goodbye. Hi, Erin.
Hi. Real quick, is there any way you can post the link to the start of how to get there in the chat?
The link to the replay?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? If let me just, by everybody on Facebook, I'm going to stop the Facebook broadcast. How do I do that? Okay. Bye, everyone.
Is all right. Too much?
Let me just, nope, no problem. I'm going to stop the recording.